not something you hold. It's not something you scream. When you show me love, I don't need your words. Yeah, love ain't a thing. Love is a verb.
Woo! Well, good morning, Christ. Now, how y'all doing this morning? You okay?
Yeah! Go Skippy!
Yeah! I pay them. That's why they do that. That's, yeah, we pay them in donuts. Well, hey, it is so good to see you guys this morning. Hey, I want you to fill in, I want you to finish this statement, okay? And it is, to stay in love, you've got to make love. Did someone say a lot? Yeah, you weren't here last week. Yeah. to stay in love, you've got to make love a verb. And it's something that we started last week. We started a brand new series. And if you're kind of new to church, you don't, what's a series? A series is basically a topic. We talk about it for a few weeks, and then we move on to another topic. So last week, we started this topic called staying in love. And the reason we brought this to you, last week, for some of you who were here, I got, you know, pretty personal with some of the stuff that Shannon and I have gone through in our marriage, and the outpour of love that we got from you guys was incredible. And if you missed last week, you can go to our website, crisislove.org. You can also go to our app, and you can watch last week's message. But we got so much awesome just love and feedback from you guys, and it's one of the reasons why we love this church, because we don't go to church, we are the church, and you guys are awesome. One of the coolest things that happened last week, on three different occasions, I heard from couples who said, either our relationship is extremely rocky, and one couple actually shared with me that they already had a meeting set up next week to talk about how they can get their divorce. And then what God did in their hearts last week, they said, no way. And so can we give God a hand for what God is doing? I mean, it is so awesome just to see God moving in the hearts of people and that we get to be a part of that. So it's so exciting. Now, last week, we started off with the Juno question. And if you don't know what the Juno question is, Juno is a movie. We talked about that last week. And she is a teenager who's pregnant. And at some point along the way in the movie, she asks her dad this question. She says, is it possible for two people to fall in love and stay in love forever? She's just trying to wonder with everything she's seeing around her if it's even possible. Now, here's the thing. If I were to tell you it's not possible, and I were to show you all the statistics and a whole bunch of broken marriages and kids that are messed up, because even if I were to tell you it's not possible, you know what you would do? You'd try it anyway, wouldn't you? Because you think it's possible, and you think it's even possible for you, even with all the stuff going around, that it is possible for two people to fall in love and stay in love forever. And as we learned last week, we looked at the words of Jesus when Jesus said, I command you, love one another. And Jesus took a word, love, that we normally use as a noun, and he made it a verb. He said, look, I want you to love action one another. I want you to verb one another. That's what I want you to do. So the foundation that we started last week is to stay in love, you've got to make love. See, and that's how you remember it, because of the pause. And it's really cool that way. So now the cool thing is, last week I heard a lot of cool stories that they were like, man, we were able to apply that. We made love a verb. I mean, it was great. We came up with all kinds of cool ways, and that was great. But there were others of you, you were able to make love a verb to about the parking lot. And then it was over, and it's kind of funny how that can work out. And this is one of the things we're going to talk about today, try and see if we can figure this out. How is it that two people who stand at an altar in front of God, in front of a pastor, and a whole bunch of family and friends that love them, and just give the ultimate commitment to one another. All right, I love you, you love me, you know, K-I-S-S-I-N-G, all that good stuff. And you know, I'm committed to you, and you're committed to me, and together forever, and better for worse, and sickness. You make that ultimate commitment, and there's so much love and passion and so much, you know, based around that. And then in 5 or 10 years' time, you hate each other. And we're talking, you hate them more than you hate anybody else on, like, the earth. Okay, maybe we got some issues over here. Okay, yeah. So, And it's kind of weird because there's a lot of evil in the world. I mean, you can hear all kinds of crazy dictators and there's horrible mass murders. And we don't like those people. We hate them. But then we hear the name of our ex-spouse and, oh my goodness, stuff starts pumping up inside of you. And you're like, man, if I ever have kids, that's a name that is not an option, right? I mean, you hate them more than you hate anybody else. In fact, in some cases, if we gave you truth serum, you'd be like, I would like to hurt them. I mean, why don't you just go hurt someone who needs to be hurt? I didn't say that. Edit that out. But you hate these people more than anybody else, and it just seems so weird that you make the most incredible ultimate commitment to each other, and then you can't stand each other. Why is that? Well, why is it if your marriage is kind of on the rocks a little bit? If I were to come and sit with you, and if I were to look at your spouse and be like, now I just want to venture a guess that you would be open to being married again later on. You know, if I press a little bit, you'd probably be like, yeah, in a few years, I might be open to that. And then I would look to your spouse, and I'd be like, all right, now I'm willing to bet for you, you would also be open to the possibility of getting married again and, falling in love again. And you'd probably be like, yeah, probably. All right, now here's the thing. I have tendencies where I can be a smart person, so let's see if we can figure this out. Since you're both open to falling in love with somebody else again, how about you just fall in love with each other again, okay? And then it's just going to save you a lot of money because it's real expensive and, there's kids and there's a lot of complications. So why don't you just fall in love with each other again and then you just make love a verb forever and, all is good. And some of you laugh at me and some of you are giving me the stink eye because it's not that simple, is it? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Why in the world it's not that simple. Now here's the thing. It would be that simple if whenever we got into romantic relationships as adults, we had healthy hearts. It would be that simple if we were fully healthy. And we talked about that last week, that there was a list that people came up with that as growing up as a kid, if you had massive doses of all of this stuff from both mom and dad, you needed all of this in order to be ready as an adult to have a healthy romantic relationship. And this was the list. You needed to have a home where you had respect, encouragement, comfort, security, support, acceptance, approval, appreciation, attention, and affection. As we said last week, that's like all the homes we grew up in, right? And here's the truth. Most of us did not grow up with all of that from both of our parents. Now if you did, and dad was at every game, and mom was at every recital, and there were a couple of dings along the way, but they stayed together, committed forever, and they just treated you with all this stuff, and you just were so filled with this, and then you got into middle school, no one ever hurt your feelings, everything was great, you got into high school, and no one ever broke your heart, all your relationships and experiences were awesome, you never had a bad teacher, no one ever made you feel bad about yourself. If you had that kind of experience all through growing up, and you enter into adulthood, then your heart would be ready for some healthy relationships when it comes to romance. But the truth is, most of us don't have all of that when it comes to growing up and when we enter adulthood. In fact, a lot of us, when we're honest, our dads were not at every game. In fact, maybe sometimes he wasn't even there. Maybe he wasn't there at all. For some of you, maybe your moms made you to feel less than and kind of were too hard and there were some issues. And in some cases, there may have been alcohol involved. In other cases, there may have been abuse involved and all of this stuff. So you come into these relationships and your heart isn't healthy. You see, when we enter into romantic relationships as an adult, we have baggage and our hearts aren't in real good shape. And it all stems from that we all have stuff inside of us from past experiences and past relationships. We have all kinds of dings and dents and baggage, and it's just like, man, you know what? And then we enter into relationships with someone who's pretty much the same way, and then we wonder why we have so many issues. Now, I told you last week that I was going to introduce you to a couple who was going to help us figure this out today, and I didn't lie to you. Okay, so here, this is Mr. and Mrs. Mugg. All right, showing my artistic skill or lack thereof. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Mugg, they met right out of college, okay? And Mr. Mugg was awesome because he had a degree and a future, and she liked that, and she was like, whoa. And he looked at her, was like, whoa, hey, baby. And I mean, look at her. She's a knockout, right? And so they started dating. And when they were dating, they were so careful. I mean, because he's trying to win her heart, and she's trying to win his affection. I mean, there may be little dings, but nothing major. And they were just so careful when they were dating. Then they got engaged, and everything is still great. They're planning the wedding. Then they get married. And about a month into the marriage, they hit a bump. And stuff came out. And he looks at her and says, whoa, where did all that come from? And she looks at him and says, well, I didn't know you had anger issues. And he says, well, I didn't have anger issues until you bumped me. Oh, there it is again. And then they had another argument, another one, and then she goes to see her mother. There's some guilty people here. Okay, And then he goes, and God, we're idiots. We go to a lot of places we don't need to go. But here's what's true with both of these scenarios is most times you will go to somebody who is in your favor, not in favor of your marriage. You will go to someone who is in your favor. So you go to mom or you go to sister and you're, well, I didn't see all that. And then, you know, well, I told you he was a Yankee, you know, and you know, that's a joke, but may have happened to you. And they'll pump you up. Yeah, absolutely. I can't believe that. And he just walks around, man, she makes me so mad. All this stuff, she just makes me so mad. And they trying it back together. And he looks at her, he's like, hey, when we were dating, I didn't see all of that. And she was like, well, none of that was in there until you bumped me and you make me act that way. It's been entertaining. You even haven't learned anything yet, right? Now, here's the thing, is that Mr. Mugg thinks the blue beads come out of Mr. Mugg because Mrs. Mugg is, and she's annoying him and aggravating, and that wasn't a real woman's voice, just play along. But he's so certain that all the blue beads are coming out of him because she keeps aggravating him and she keeps bumping him. And Mrs. Mugg is absolutely certain that the reason all the pink beads are coming out is because he keeps on getting frustrated and they keep having arguments and there it is again. And so she's so certain about that. Now here's the truth. Is that the reason the blue beads come out of Mr. Mugg is because that's what's in there. Okay? And the reason, you guys writing this down, I don't see any pens going. All right. And the reason the pink beads come out of Mrs. Mugg is because that's what's in there. Now, this is important, and we can all relate to this, is that all of us have stuff in us. And you don't know what's in you until you get bumped. And I don't know what it is, but there is something about romance and commitment, and I'm forever yours and you're forever me, and you know, we have a song and all that good stuff, and there's something about romance that it brings out the best and it brings out the worst. And that is why two people who make the ultimate commitment to each other end up madder at each other than on anybody else on the face of the earth. Yet, Mr. Mugg is so certain that the reason all the blue beads are coming out is because she keeps nagging him. And he's so certain of that, but the reason those come out is because that's what's in there. And Mrs. Mugg is so sure the reason all these pink beads are flying out is because if he were to start, and if he were to stop, and if he would do less of, and if he would do more of, and if he was more careful, then the pink beads would stop coming out. But the reason the pink beads come out is because that's what's in there. But it is romantic relationships that bring this out like nothing else. I want to ask you to raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. But the reason it came out of you is because that's what's in you. And that is what's in me. So we ask the question, so what do we do? What is it do we do to kind of, to kind of get this under control? And it's actually really easy, but it's something we don't do, is that we have to pay attention to what's going on inside of us. You and I, we need to pay attention whenever we have all that, all the beads start rising up. We need to pay attention to what's going on inside of us. And Jesus was, when Jesus was here, he actually just got done healing a guy. This wasn't in the context of marriage, but the principle is exactly the same for you and for me, for basically all of our relationships. He just got done healing a guy. And then as soon as Jesus got done healing a guy, some of the Pharisees there who were trying to catch him in a lie and trying to and get him all caught up, they said some stuff that had eternal significance. And Jesus said, for the mouth speaks what the, what is? Heart is full of. In other words, what comes out of you is what's in you. So when it comes to you and when it comes to me, and we have all these kind of moments, and you don't even have to be married to understand these moments. You have these moments where you say, well, I don't know where that came from. The good news is today you know. The bad news is you know it's you, okay? But it's okay because we're going to work on that. So we have to pay attention to what's going on inside of us. We need to monitor our hearts. We need to monitor what's going on. And here's what's true is we aren't good at monitoring our own hearts, but we are real good at monitoring our partner's behavior. Yeah, see, you know. And because if I were to ask you, hey, how do you monitor behavior? We don't need a sermon on that. I mean, I think we know how to monitor behavior. But if I were to ask you, what is your plan for monitoring, for paying attention to what's going on inside of you, you might be like, what? I mean, is that like psycho? I don't even know what monitor, pay attention to what's inside. I don't even know what that means. And yet, Jesus said, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of, meaning we got to pay attention to what's going on in our hearts. Yet most of us have no idea how to do it, which means we probably aren't doing it in the first place. Now here's what's true about all of us, is that your ability and my ability to feel certain things is determined by the condition of your heart. Because if you grew up in a house where maybe you didn't feel appreciated growing up, it doesn't matter who is with you, it is going to be really hard for you to feel appreciated. And it doesn't matter what the other person did or didn't do. I mean, if you came into the relationship with that baggage already, you come into the relationship feeling all signs of failure and all kinds of things, it is going to be harder for you to feel the things that you want to feel because of the condition of your heart. And when it comes to staying in love in marriage, your ability and my ability to stay in love has as much to do with the condition of your heart as it does with your spouse's behavior. Now, both are extremely important. However, we naturally monitor our spouse's behavior. We do not naturally monitor and pay attention to our hearts. And here's how I know this, is that we see this in other people so easily, don't we? You don't need to spend more than about 5-10 minutes with somebody, walk away and be like, yeah, they're going to have issues with this, and this. You can have dinner with a couple, and then you're on the way home with your wife, and you guys are talking. They're going to have problems with this. I mean, you can see what's wrong with other people so easily. It is almost impossible to see it in the mirror. And here's what happens, kind of like we talked about last week. What our culture does is whenever we have these kinds of issues and all these arguments and beads start flying out, like we talked about last week, what culture says is, well, you chose poorly. You need to go remarry and get married to somebody else and find, you know, someone else is going to bring better. And then you get married 2, 3, 4 times, and then you end up saying, whoa, I've been married to 4 women who all have the same problem. I've been married to 4 men who all bring all these pink beads. I need to find a guy who's going to bring something good out of me. And look, I love you. But what's in you is going to come out of you regardless of who is with you. It doesn't matter how many times you get remarried. And if you're not married here today and you have issues and you bump with your boss or people at work, it doesn't matter how many times you get a new job. It doesn't matter how many times you change schools. Whatever is in you is going to come out of you regardless of who is with you. So as Jesus says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. We got to pay attention to that. We have to monitor what's going on in our hearts. Now, the Apostle Paul comes along a few years later, And he reiterates what Jesus says. And he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Okay, so how is it do we monitor our heart? Where do we even begin? Because I would say most of us, I know I didn't, I had no idea. What on earth do we do? Well, it starts with you need to name your emotion. And you, how many of y'all have heard of, hey, think before you speak? Yep. Oh, boy, I got some. All right, well, hopefully you're a little excited about this. We're going to add a step, okay? Because that can be good, but what I want you to do is I want you to stop and think about what you're feeling before you speak. Now, I'm going to talk to guys because that's what I know. I'm a guy. So when Mr. Mug starts having all this stuff, you know, starts surfing to the surface here, what I want you to do is I want you to name what it is that caused that. Now, because I'm a guy, guys, I know exactly how we are, okay? We say, I'm frustrated. Frustrated. I mean, that's like our only emotion. Oh, sometimes I get angry. So we get frustrated and we get angry. It's like we're robots. It's no, all right. So, okay, you're frustrated. You're angry. Okay, but what caused that? There are, and ladies, you guys are typically better at, you know, naming your emotions and things, but God, we need a lot of help with this. What is the root of that? What is the root of the, why you're so frustrated? Why are you so, what is that? When that surfaces to the top, before you blow up and beads start flying everywhere, you want to stay in love forever? You need to name it. You need to figure out what that is. Because the whole goal here is to identify what's really going on inside of us. Now, guys, I'm going to try and expand your vocabulary a little bit because there's a few more emotions than frustration and anger. Now, some women could be hard-headed, I guess, so you may need this too. This is for all of us. How do you name your emotions? We're going to name a few. So when all this stuff comes up and something they did or said and you're just, beads are about to start going out, before anything happens, before anything is said, why do you feel that way? What is it? So here are some emotions. Anger, we normally know that one. Left out, that's an emotion. Embarrassed, unappreciated. Honey, every time she does this or says this, and I'm working my hiney off to try and provide for the family, yes, I'm frustrated, but really the root of it is feel unappreciated. I think that's what it is. I think the root of why I'm frustrated and angry right now is just simply because I feel unappreciated, unlovable, ugly, failure. Maybe you grew up in a family and you were just led to believe that nothing was ever good enough, and every time your husband says or does something, you're just like, why am I so mad at him? And the truth is, right now, the one he does or says that, I feel like a failure. I feel like a failure. Old, stupid, lonely, abandoned, scared, out of control, betrayed, picked on. Yeah. You know, honey, whenever your sister comes over and she wears those clothes, and I know I'll never get in those size of clothes. When it comes down to it, I just feel picked on. That's what it is. Jealousy. Jealousy is real hard to see in the mirror. Disrespected. Insecure. Name your emotion. And this is why, because look at what Paul goes on later to say. He says, you need to get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. You need to get rid of it. And if you have no idea what it is, it's just going to stay in there and it's going to erupt no matter who it is you're with. And you are always going to blame somebody else for what's going on inside of you if you do not pay attention to what's going on in your heart. And here's the thing. When you start naming your beads, there is incredible freedom when you start to discern with what your spouse says or does with how you feel. There is huge freedom in that. Do you know why we don't want to do it? Because it loses its power. And you know what? I kind of want to stay mad. And when you name it and you start figuring out what it is, it loses its power and you lose your excuse. And we don't like that. We like to, coming out. And then we want to take whatever this is and we want to make it that way we control their behavior with it. It's what we do. There is so much freedom when we start to identify what's really going on inside of us. And Jesus is telling us, from your heart, your mouth speaks. And Paul's telling us, you need to get rid of all of that. So you start naming it. You start figuring out what it is. And then when the time is right, and I can't stress that enough, when the time is right, you tell your spouse. Because not all the time, but most of the time, when you start digging around, finding out what this is, it has nothing to do with your spouse in the first. It's something you brought into the relationship. It's something that you never felt growing up and mom or dad wasn't there or there was this and that. It's stuff, it has nothing to do. When you start figuring this out, honey, whenever you talk about how your brother goes on all these vacations and it makes me feel like a failure, you just love your brother. You're not trying to make me feel like a failure. So, man, why is it that your brother's success makes me feel like a failure? Now, I've got to figure that out. Honey, I know you love your sister and you love it when she comes over. And now that I'm starting to identify what's going on, I feel picked on. I feel ugly. And I know you just love your sister. And I think I brought some of this with me. I think this is a Steve bead. I think this is a me issue. And when the time is right, you need to go and you need to tell your spouse. Now, what we need to understand is that there are no bad feelings. They're just feelings. Okay? So when your spouse comes to you and says, honey, you said this or you did this, and I just want you to know I did some digging and I did some praying and I figured out when you do that, when you say that, I just feel unappreciated. Now, if you are the spouse and your spouse is trying to tell you this, this isn't a criticism of you. It's just information. So the proper response to your spouse is, honey, I'm so glad you told me. And then this is even more important, the next step. You don't say anything else. You don't go, well, I can't help but you feel that way. Well, you ought to grow up. You ought to be more mature. I'm so glad you told me. Honey, I am so glad that you decided on your own to figure out what's really going on inside of you. And depending on how your relationship is, maybe there's a hug. Or maybe there's a, how can I help you? Honey, let's pray. Maybe there's a way we can figure this out together. But I'm so glad you told me. Because when they tell you, healthy people receive it. And that's it. Healthy people receive it and then offer whatever they can do to help their spouse. That's what healthy people do. That's what marriages who want to fall in love and stay in love together forever, that's what marriages do. You figure out what's going wrong. I'm so glad you told me. Now, what can I do to help? And let's keep making love a verb. And you see, here's the thing for some of us in here today, is that because we just naturally have a habit of blaming other people when all these beads just start, you know, coming out, we always love to blame other people. And there's some of you in here today that maybe, even if you're married or not,
You have all this stuff inside of you that keeps coming out. And you blame God. And you think he's behind something and he's messing everything up. And all this, all these beads start coming out. And how fitting today being Valentine's Day. Whenever we accept and we receive stuff of love from some people we don't even know. Sometimes we didn't know some people loved us. And we love to accept and receive that. For some of you today, maybe for the first time ever, you need to hear the fact that your Heavenly Father loves you so much that he sent his only Son, Jesus, to this earth to live an absolutely perfect life, to be nothing but a servant for you and for me, and then to take torture, beating, and death on a cross because he so desperately loves you. And he so desperately loves me. And he wants a relationship with you. And he wants a relationship with me more than anything in this world. Because God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. And maybe for some of you in here today, you had no idea, because maybe you've never felt loved in your life because of all the beads, all the baggage, whether it's stuff you cause or whether it's stuff other people cause in your life. And you have just blamed God forever. And yet he's reaching out in every way possible, trying to let you know how much he loves you. The great thing for you and me today is we have an opportunity of accepting that. And whether you've been a Christ follower your entire life, and maybe you've just been off, and it comes to your marriage, and you realize you haven't been making love a verb, and you've been blaming them for everything. Maybe for some of us, we have an opportunity to ask God for forgiveness. Because a lot of times, sometimes we need to apologize because it wasn't their fault to begin with. And we like to blame God sometimes for things going on, and maybe, just maybe, today's a day where we need to ask his forgiveness, because all he has done from the very beginning is to pour his love to you and to pour his love to me, because he so desperately wants relationship with you. So as we enter into our response time, this could look different for many of you. Maybe some of you need to get together with a spouse. Maybe some of you just need to come down before the altar. And you just need to ask God's forgiveness. Maybe you need to ask forgiveness from somebody else. But the amazing thing is that if you want to fall in love and stay in love forever, it is absolutely possible by the grace, the mercy, and the forgiveness of our Savior. But if you and if I don't accept it, it will always be there, no matter who it is with us. So for you and for me today, my prayer is just for however God is stirring in your heart to respond, that you wouldn't be ashamed, that you wouldn't be scared, that you were surrounded by an entire building of people who are broken and hurt just like you are and want to do nothing else but to show God's love to you the way God loves us. And maybe part of your prayer today is, God, will you put the love in my heart for my wife the way you love her? God, will you put the love that you have for my husband in my heart? If we step back a little, I think we would be amazed what God will do if we let him. So for you and for me today, I don't know what that looks like. But this is time for you and God to figure that out.